Sure does, man.
It's years of coffee and cigarettes and, you know, tobacco.
That's a true DJ, a true politician.
I'm since then reformed, though. I'm a reformed, you know, tobacco user.
You don't vape?
I don't vape.
Do you vape?
Yeah. I gave it all up. Do you vape?
No.
A stone cold lie, bro. You might not want to get on this podcast.
Yeah, recording. And
not
recording.
Anymore,
do you
anymore.
Vape?
Not anymore.
How many girlfriends do you have?
None.
How many boyfriends do you have?
None.
Oh, you hesitated
a lot. The second answer was much more confident.
Have you ever been inside a girl's bathroom?
I did not think that last word
was going to go there.
No.
Oh, man.
Okay.
That was great.
It was like, you can hear like the screech above the brakes.
All right, man.
Am I going to get censored?
No, we don't plan on getting canceled. We don't take any syndication.
No, we'll definitely get canceled. That's when the big deals come.
Any ads or anything, yeah.
As soon as we get canceled somewhere, somebody else will make us an offer on
the deal. That's right.
But yeah, man, we're on, guys.
Okay.
So, sitting here with my lady Shayna and our special guest, Mr. Josh Hildebrand. Hildebrand, am I saying that right?
Hildebrand, yeah.
Hildebrand.
You got it.
Yep. So, you know, I didn't really get a chance to research that much. Facebook stalk you a little bit. So why don't you kind of tell me what you do? Tell everybody what you do.
All right. So I'm a field representative for Congressman Josh Brekeen. Most people mispronounce his last name, too. You know, they call him Breechin or anything. I tell everybody, you can call him whatever you want. Just don't call him Britches. Okay. Yeah, so Josh Brekeen, he's a congressman for District 2 in Oklahoma. Was a seat that was formerly held by Mark Wayne Mullen. And Mark Wayne went to, Senator Mark Wayne, you know, went to fill a Senate seat and was elected to that seat. And Josh Brekeen got elected to the House of Representatives, District 2. So there's 14 different candidates that were running for that, so it was quite interesting and went into a runoff. Yep, that's Josh Brekeen right there, Congressman Brekeen.
Let me see that.
District 2. He's quite a guy. He's not a politician. He's a statesman. He's from Colgate, Oklahoma. You know, him and his dad are horse trainers. He's got a small excavation company.
He's
a regular guy. Mm-hmm. You know, just one of us from Eastern Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Just all around good dude.
Are you from Oklahoma?
I'm from Oklahoma. Yeah, Eastern Oklahoma. Of course, I'm from far northeastern Oklahoma in Bartlesville, Nowata is where I was raised. I went to Bartlesville High School.
I have family up there.
Yeah.
I think they're from there too.
Mm-hmm.
Wilson. That's
that's the last name?
Well, I think so.
I think Castaway right now. That's all I was thinking was Castaway when you said that.
Wilson.
That's all I was thinking.
No, that's my mom's maiden name. It's my mom's older side of the family that lives over there. But I can't remember what their last names all are over there.
Our high school class in Bartlesville was actually, there was a lot. I'm not sure exactly what my graduating class was, but I'm pretty sure it was around 400.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get to this neck of the woods from
So I live at Burr Cabin over by Lake Tenkiller, and my grandfather bought some property back in the 70s or something. I don't know, a long time ago. And it came up. So after my grandfather passed away, it went to my uncle and my dad, and they decided they were going to sell it. Mm-hmm. And so I inquired on the property and decided that I wanted to do that. So, you know, I moved out here and just kind of took a leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
There was no like running water, electricity, any of those things. You know, it was just like wooded
raw land. Yeah.
And so I homesteaded that property and chopped firewood for a couple of winters.
Wow.
And
dang.
And it was just like complete kind of off the grid kind of guy. I always wanted to try it. And so I had an opportunity. My brother gave me a real hard time. He was like, you know you're homeless now, right? And right. I said, no, I actually own some property. I'm not homeless. And he goes,
I'm a homesteady. Yeah. They have reality shows about this.
Right.
How long did you do that for before you finally went to the dark side of electricity?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, you know, after about the second winter of chopping firewood, you know, I had a wake-up call and was like, I need to buy a camper, you know? And so
one step up.
And then, so I thought it was a great idea. And then I realized, well, I still need electricity
and water and
all that kind of stuff. And, so I bought a generator.
Okay.
And so I went from no electricity
to a gas generator.
And it's loud, you know, running outside. And yeah, so it was a great experience. And started working around the lake and you know, just kind of exploring my opportunities. That's where I met my wife.
I was gonna say, were you single in these days? This sounds like a single adventure.
Right. It was, you could have called me like Father Jod or something like that, you know, out there at the time.
Father
Yod. Hey, everyone.
Remember Father Yod? Look it up, okay, fact checkers. You know, look up Father Yod.
Okay,
you know.
Every one of my husbands I met, and they were living in a camper, so I get it.
Right, so you like homeless people too. That's great.
Entrepreneurs.
You know, yeah, that's how we classify ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she met me. I was living in a camper too.
Nice.
By choice.
Nice.
That's my type.
Well, I'm happily married, and we have 6 children between the two of us. So.
Golly, 6. Do they all live with you full time?
Well,
so yeah, there's Father Yod. So my name's Josh. You could have like just look it up. You know,
did you dress like that?
I plead the fifth because
put that in the description.
Okay, yeah, my kids might listen to this someday, so I'm going to kind of plead the fifth on that.
Yeah. He founded a spiritual commune in the Hollywood Hills.
Yep, that would be me.
The Source Family.
The Source Family.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still going today? Did you start a cult over there?
No, I didn't start the cult. No,
I didn't
start. That was way before my time, but you know, all my hippie followers will get a big laugh out of that for sure. But no, I fish for trout on the lower Illinois and you know, bought farm fresh eggs and wild honey and it was awesome.
Huh? Did you have bees?
I didn't have bees, but a lot of my neighbors did.
That's awesome. And so, I tried that one time.
It's all about networking and bartering and knowing who your neighbors are. And,
I feel like we should get back to that. You know, like I feel
we
like
may this... have to. $34 trillion in debt is what our nation is looking at right now.
Yeah.
We're looking at, you know, the smartest people I know are saying that hyperinflation will happen anywhere between 2026 and 2033.
Yeah.
I feel like we're already in hyperinflation.
How bad is it going to get? It's going to get worse. I took a math class and we had to do a projection for a humanitarian effort in our community, and we had to build a budget for it. And then we had to look up the inflation rate as it sits and project what it was going to cost to run that same business.
See, that's something that Congress can't do. They don't know about projecting budgets.
You use slope intercept. I don't know if you learned about that in high school, but I never thought that I would use slope intercept in my life. But we used it to figure out the inflation.
It's one of those things you're like, I actually get to use
this. Yeah, I was like, M equals yes with the line. I remember that.
No doubt.
So, but it took like for $150,000 budget for basically like, I don't know, 2 quarters, like not even a 3 or 4 quarter projected thing. It was going to cost $400,000 in a 5-year projection for that 2-quarter period.
Was this like an applied economics class?
It was a financial math class that I took. I go to Grand Canyon University I'm in the School of Humanities. So every class that we take has a humanitarian effort. So, we had to make a project that our community did not have that served the community that was like missing, you know? So we just had to do some basic research and whatever. So, but it was really interesting to see, wow, you know, like 5 years from now, this same business that I have or this same, you know, project that I have, I have to be able to sustain that. I don't know how that's going
to
work.
We've got to do more and more of that, educating people. The only way that we turn this thing around is that if we actually get out there and educate people on where we're at and how to get out of this mess that we're in, this uncontrollable spending that Congress is doing. If you look at our mandatory spending right now, which is Medicaid, Social Security, a few other things, that's our mandatory spending. Then you add in our interest payment, that's 100% of what we've got coming in right now. Mm-hmm. That's 100%. So all of our discretionary spending, our 12 appropriation bills that we fight for every year and haggle to, 100% of that is borrowed money.
Right.
So by the end of this decade, we've got $1 trillion interest payment that's going to be due every single year.
Yeah. What do we do about that as like a common
There's only one
person?
Thing we got to do. There's only one thing to do. It's real simple. We've got to cut. We've got to get our politicians, our elected leaders, to stop spending money.
It's
not that hard. You know, one of the things that Josh Brickeen did when he first went into Congress was he asked for our budget, our annual budget, just to go back to 2019 spending limits. Mm-hmm. 2019 spending limits with a 2% overall cut every year over the next 10 years. That seems like that could be reasonable. For Congress, it's something on the other side of Mount Everest from where we're at right now. They can't get there. I mean, you ask yourself a question. You look at your budget that you have now or your spending that you spend today and look back to 2019.
Yeah.
Is that really that unreasonable? Could you live under your 2019 spending budget?
I could. But I don't know if like,
I don't know.
Everything costs like so much more now.
Well, yeah, so that's your spending limit. Like, but if your inflation wasn't
came down
and it was all things are equal, you could live there, right?
Absolutely.
That's all we're asking Congress to do.
Right.
You look at the state budget, you know, 5 years ago, it was $6.3 billion with a B.
Right.
And today, 5 years later, it's $12.8 billion.
Right.
I might be off a million or two, you know, but essentially it's doubled. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Why is it doubled? Well, the only thing that happens is when we add more taxes mm-hmm. to the budget or we add more taxes, they spend more money.
Right.
That's the only thing that happens. So when they say, oh, we need more. No, you need to cut, not spend. And that's where we're at. That's where Josh Brickeen was elected to go and reform Congress, not be a part of the uniparty, the establishment that's there.
Right. So he wants to try and set some caps on spending in some kind of way.
Absolutely. Like I said, we were asking for 2019 spending levels.
Right.
With a 2% annual cut on right. appropriations every year over the next 10 years. And if we just did that, all it would do is plateau this thing out. That's right. all it would do.
Right.
I mean, we're not really fixing anything.
Yeah.
The problem is by 2033, Social Security is going to be insolvent.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to go to a 25% mandatory cut. That's not Congress, guys. Mm-hmm. That's automatic 25% cut. So the average person gets $1,400 a month in Social Security. Can you imagine?
Yeah, you can't live off of that. And then some years from now, as inflation continues to rise. 25%
cut?
Yeah, no.
And then a 25% cut. So what is the American? What are the American people going to do? They're going to demand that Congress go and fill the void, fill the gap, right? So they're going to demand that comes out of the general fund, the general welfare fund.
Right.
There's no more money there.
Right.
That's the problem. And so all of our, I'm going to just say it, fat cats in Washington.
Let's go.
That's what they're doing. They would rather kick the pail down the road, deal with it in 2033, mm-hmm. than deal with it right now. We have to wake up as a country. We have to wake up as a nation. You know, it's not just being fiscally responsible, but it's a moral responsibility too.
Absolutely.
It's a responsibility that we just don't have for you and me and my kids, but it's his kids. It's our grandkids. We're done spending. There's no more money. We've spent our parents' money. We've spent all of your money. We've spent our kids' money. Now we're spending our grandkids' money.
Yeah.
Every newborn baby that's born today owes $115,000 to the federal government day one, first breath of air. Mm-hmm. When are we going to wake up as a country? Mm-hmm. We've got to wake up.
Do you think we're anywhere close to having the right people in place now or in the near future to even solving these problems in the good direction.
You know what? I'm hopeful and prayerful. I mean, my principles are biblical. My procedures are constitutional. And that's what Josh Burkeen is. That's why I'm here, because that's who he is. Mm-hmm. We are hopeful and we're prayerful. We see things happening every single day that haven't happened in a long time. Mm-hmm. I truly believe God's on the move. I really believe that with all my heart that God's on the move. I don't think that he's done with this country. Mm-hmm. I know that George Washington, after he was inaugurated, his first order of business was to turn around and say, Congress, follow me. Mm-hmm. And he went to a chapel and he cut a covenant with our dear Lord God, our Jesus Christ, right then and there. And he said, you be our God, we'll be your people. Mm-hmm. We still maintain that same covenant. We can act underneath that same covenant that he cut back then. And I firmly believe that God's not done with this country, that we still can be that city on a shining hill, mm-hmm. that we can still have an impact for the world. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what, folks? We're probably out of here about that point in time, because that's just how I look at it. But if you look at what the direction that the world's going, you looked at digital currency, you look at the moves that are being made, I mean, it doesn't take a rock
science. Artificial intelligence.
Artificial
AI.
Intelligence, blue beam. You know, we can go on and on, mm-hmm. but it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out. Read this book, you know,
blue,
and it's
blue
all
beam.
In
is
there.
That conspiracy?
I've yeah. So blue. Before. So blue beam is a technology that we know exists, and it's not just our country. It's multi. You know, it's other countries also. That they can do like holographic images,
oh, yeah.
and even like audio, mm-hmm. Voiceovers, and kind of you know, do sound effects and different things like that.
Yeah, I think I heard a conspiracy about that that started a long time ago about the development of that and how it implement in the future to basically make like an apocalyptic thing happen. Am I sounding echoey on
just
here?
Just a little bit, but you sound good.
I think you sound really good, mm-hmm. actually.
Okay. Project Thanks, movie. Guys. I needed that.
Mm-hmm. You have really nice eyes, too. You know.
You know, basically to kind of bring forth like a Revelations scenario. What did you say?
I said you have really good eyes.
I just heard people laughing, but I didn't hear what he said.
Yeah. Well, you know, like Bluetooth is so far out if you really think about it. You know what I mean? And we use Bluetooth every day.
Absolutely.
So it's crazy, you know?
You know, we're running out of conspiracies. They're all coming true, right?
Yeah, they are.
I know.
It's
it makes
conspiracy,
me.
Conspiracy, it's the truth.
Yeah, you know, I've distanced myself. I was never really interested in politics until Trump came to office, made it a lot of fun. But now,
man, I love that guy's policies. I mean, he's a champion for people. He's a champion for the working class. He is a nationalist. You know, we love Trump's policies. You know, I say all the time, I probably wouldn't invite him over for dinner. My wife's like, yeah, you better, because I want to touch his hair. You know, so
oh, yeah, man.
You know, but love his policies. Listen, no one is gonna check off every box for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, no one is gonna do that.
It always has shocked me how conservative Christians can get behind Trump, though.
Absolutely,
like, it's shocking to me. Shocking.
Yeah. Well, you know. We can, there's two sides to that coin, right? I mean, we can look at the other side and start, you know, slamming the other side too, but I won't. I want to be above that. And
I'm not slamming anybody.
No, I know. I get it.
Yeah, I've talked to people, and he was really, you know, in office. They really thought that he was like the second coming of Christ.
I know.
Like he was bringing
deliverance. I actually switched political parties and registered as a Republican for the first
Yay.
Time in my life. Don't tell my dad. Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.
But just so that I could vote in the preliminary. Yeah, in the primaries. Yeah, for Trump. So.
That's awesome. You know, we can't check off every box.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And but I agree with his policies. I agree with how tough he is. You know, let's talk about the border for a second, okay?
Listen.
So we don't need a border bill. We have Title 42. We have the policies in place. If you are serious about the border, they sit there and tell the Republicans, "Hey, if you're serious about the border, give us a bill.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a bill."
Oh, we had one.
We don't need a bill. We got Title 42. Just do what Trump did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just shut down the border.
What's Title 42? Break that down.
So Title 42 gives the executive branch, gives the president the authority to just shut down the border mm-hmm. on his own with without a bill. Trump used that for a national security and the you know with, during COVID with a national emergency is declared you can shut down the border. Mm-hmm. We have military operations coming across the border right now. This is military aged men coming across the border. We have 100,000 fentanyl deaths every single year. Do you know how many people were killed in the Vietnam War? 55,000. So we double that death toll every single year. Wow. We have a national emergency. Mm-hmm. It's a bad situation. When we are losing our youth mm-hmm. to this Chinese-made fentanyl mm-hmm. every single year, mm-hmm. it's national emergency. And he can use Title 42. He doesn't need a border. What they want to do is they want to put the Ukraine spending in that bill so they can have their slush fund mm-hmm. and fund Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if you're serious about shutting the border down, use Title 42, propose the bill on Ukraine, and let's have an honest debate yeah. about it, okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. We're not for spending money on for Ukraine. Right. We're not for that. Here's why. 100% of it's borrowed money. Why would I borrow money from China for a war that was basically instigated by China, Iran, and Russia?
To begin with, yeah.
Right, so it's a circle of death. Mm-hmm. We're not doing that.
Right.
Israel, that's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know necessarily that money is the answer for Israel. I don't know supporting Israel means just giving more money. They have $200 billion in the good. We're $34 trillion in the red, okay? Mm-hmm. So I don't know that that necessarily...
I don't know if you know this, not to interrupt you, but yeah, about eight of the big Pfizer... I would call them like head honchos in Pfizer that are also in the government have dual citizenship in Israel. I don't know. That's just a fun fact in case anybody wants to know.
I wish I had dual citizenship in Israel okay? or anywhere else. It just sounds cool. I mean, I'm part Italian. Can I get that?
How do you get that?
I don't know. I work for a congressman. I don't have that. So, I don't know.
Oh, it's time to start printing some fake IDs. We'll find a way. So what do you think about this upcoming election? What's that? Just dive into it. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think there'll even be one?
Man, I think your guess is as good as mine. That's the million-dollar question right there. Or actually, we're probably in the billions at this point of what they're going to spend, which is ridiculous to see that candidates can spend that kind of money, mm-hmm. you know, to run an election. And that's a whole nother, you know, ball of wax mm-hmm. right there. But here's the thing. We've got to do some things like term limits, right? We've got to do some things that Josh Brkeen has backed and endorsed a bill that says that if you're elected to office, that all of your assets actually get put in trust and get put in hold to where you can't make those kind of stock market decisions and get paid, you know, billions and millions of dollars just because you're elected into office. We've got to make some decisions like that. It really gives the power back to the people. This is the people's house, mm-hmm. and the people have that authority. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that our liberties, our freedoms were granted to us by God, our creator, and not by a government. Mm-hmm. And when we put God back in his place, mm-hmm. and we put government back down there in its place, mm-hmm. and understand that we're the ones in the middle, mm-hmm. and we maintain that authority, that's when we can change this thing around. Mm.
Yeah. Write that down. They gave me goosebumps, baby. Mm-hmm. Made my nipples hard a little bit. No, they actually kind of did. No, that's good, man. So when you say, you know, you're biblically, founded, I guess is kind of the word you use.
We look at a biblical worldview. Our principles are biblical. So the first thing that you have to do, if you want a bill passed or you believe in an issue, we're going to have to run it through the Bible test first mm-hmm. before we get to the Constitution. If it gets past the Bible test, then we go to the Constitution test.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example of anything that you faced recently where you had to put that framework into actual use?
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be one for the congressman because, you know, I'm pretty low level, man. I'm out here as a field representative. I'll tell you
I thought
you
we got a better guest than this.
Yeah, man, sorry, you know. next week we will have
it's honesty, example of like integrity, like what are we talking about? What, as far as biblical prospects,
what have you seen, I guess, like him make a decision based on that that would have been different if it wasn't gone through that lens?
All right, while we were all running and there was 14 different candidates, there was a point in time where Josh Brakeen really stood out like an old plow mule with those blinders on. And on the left-hand side, he had the Bible. On the right-hand side, he had our Constitution. And so we kind of said that, and we knew that. And we knew that he was really set apart. And that was really apparent. And you could look at the voting record for the constituents in eastern Oklahoma, and that really showed that he just was really set apart. But something happened. Everybody remembers January 6th, but nobody remembers January 3rd through January 7th what happened. Well, that was when we were trying to get a Speaker of the House, McCarthy, in there. And I don't know if you remember, but it went to like 14 rounds, and it went over and over and over. And everybody was like, man, the Republicans can't make their mind up. You know, they're a bunch of yahoos and everything. But what happened, and I was there. My wife and I went to D.C. because we wanted to see Josh Brakeen get sworn in. And so we went on our own dime, you know, and took a trip. But one thing that happened is that every time Josh came up to make his vote, he was prayerful, and then he went and voted. Okay. Yeah. So there was no like pack groups, and there was big money groups. And I know you're sitting there going like, well, yeah, that's normal, but it's not.
It's not.
There's usually big money groups. There's big pack groups. There's someone in their office that's trying to buy or coerce their vote.
Yeah.
And Josh Brakeen wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. He takes it seriously.
It's ethics and not being able to be bought.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm. That was day one. That was day one. He came out swinging day one. We got concessions from McCarthy about getting, well, last year, 23, we were supposed to have a vote on term limits on the floor. Mm-hmm. We were fighting over continuing resolution and other things, but that was part of the agreement. There was a whole list of concessions. There were line-item vetoes or negotiations instead of an omnibus bill. That was all-inclusive bill that we could actually go through appropriations one at a time and decide if we wanted to fund that and break it down. Under the Pelosi regime, we couldn't do that. It was either a vote up or a vote down. There was no negotiation over the bill whatsoever. Everybody just piled it and crammed it on top of the table, packed it in the bus as soon, you know, as tight as you could, and rolled it down the hill to get paid and borrow money from China. It was either a vote up or a vote down. You had to, if she was serving chili that day, you had to eat it how she served it. Typically, it was cold with Nancy Pelosi, okay? But I'm cold and old. So I'm just here to tell you that those things, those, why it took so long to get through that is because we needed those rules changed. Mm-hmm. A lot of Congress and a lot of legislation, yes, is passing bills. Frankly, I would like to see a law that says before you send a bill to me, find three that's unnecessary and let's dissolve those three before you can impose one.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
How do we get more naked bills too? Like some of the stuff that
what
they try and
that?
Tag on, you know, together is crazy.
I don't know, but I might be a politician now.
I think you might be into it, babe.
Dear Lord, help us.
A naked bill.
That means it doesn't have multiple things on it, you know, that they're trying to just,
you know, my uncle's
tag
name is
some
Bill.
Stuff on the end.
I've seen that a few times.
Yeah.
Naked Bill. Oh, you actually know him.
I do know Bill. Yeah, I know Uncle Bill. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I know Uncle Bill. Hey, Bill. How you doing?
I don't know if he listens to this.
I hope that the Piddles is still making good pizza over there. It's some of the best pizza on the lake.
You know, we loved it. That pizza slapped.
Yeah, that pizza is what he said. And your dad's a really great guy too, by the way. We like your dad. He's
so
really,
yeah. For what you told me before, you ran that restaurant over there, right? So
I
how
did.
Long ago was that? And what was your career?
Okay, so we're going back to numbers and calendar events and everything. I'm gonna have to yield to my wife on that, but I would say it's been 3 or 4 years ago or something like that. My wife and I ran that restaurant during the summer. Kind of as a summer gig, you know, ran into Bill and Talisha. Mm-hmm. And so we read that through the summer
How did you go from running a restaurant to working with what you do now?
With congressmen. Yeah, with the congressman. So,
it seems like a broad jump.
It does, but it's not, you know, so I went to UTSA. I was still serving the people. I went to UTSA. in San Antonio, and I was a political science major.
Awesome. I love that.
And I thought that I wanted to be in politics. So it was the Bush-Cheney watch party. I'm sitting there with a couple Texas Supreme Court judges, and they look at me and go, "What are you doing here, kid?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, you know, I was president of College Republicans in San Antonio. I formed the first College Republicans chapter down there. And we had 300 members within like 90 days. We were doing all right."
That's pretty awesome.
And so I'm sitting there and I tell them that I would potentially like to be in politics someday. Mm-hmm. And they looked at me and said, "You might as well be a Democrat then." And I said, I mean, I was completely offended.
And
you know,
probably
I was
like took the wind out of your sail too.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm like, my heart was like broken. I'm like, you know, I grew up, during the Reagan days, you know, I thought Ronald Reagan was the first president of the United States, you know, and
when he's not,
I went to pro-life rallies, you know, I mean, I was, you know, we grew up in church. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought I was the most conservative person on the planet. And this guy's like telling me that, you know, I'm a liberal. Right. Crazy. Yeah. I'm like, what is a conservative? And he said, "You might as well be a Democrat because you're always going to be beholden to someone else's vote or money since you haven't gone out into the real world and learn how to this thing works or raise your own money." So literally that night I changed my major and went to work. Over the next 20 years, I've done everything from driving an end dump in a rock quarry to owning restaurants to being a business broker. If you can imagine it, I think I pretty much have it, except for being a DJ. I've never done that before.
Well, welcome.
We can make it happen.
Yeah, let's go.
We got a garage band.
So
do you think you're going to keep advancing your career in politics?
Man, I tell you what. Here's what I tell people. So fast forward 20, 22 years later, I end up getting involved in a congressional campaign, and I had a good friend that was running, and so I helped him out. And then here's where we are. So we kind of come around full circle. I get that question a lot, though. And here's what I tell people. I tell people that right now I am living in the moment with my dear Lord Jesus. That's where I'm at.
When you ask God to use you, he will absolutely do it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I'm living in that moment with him. I don't care if he asks me to go outside and dig ditches, I'm going to do it with a golden shovel. You know what I mean? I don't care what it is. If he put it on my heart, but to run for an office, I would. But right now I know that I'm in a place of grace and mercy to where I can be a servant to the people of Congressional District 2. Josh Burkeen asked me to come and be a field rep for him, and my answer was, "Because you kneel before my master, I can be a service to you." Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. And everyone else on our team is the same way. We're a prayerful group of people. We have, there's a couple of us that do weekly district prayer calls. Mm-hmm. On the phone. I pray for the people that I've been in contact with and the people that I'm going to come in contact with. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. So whatever the Lord wants, hey, you know,
that's
sign
awesome.
Me up.
Awesome.
How many field representatives does he have? How does that work?
Well, there's four now. Mm-hmm. There was three. Mm-hmm. And so there's basically from Highway 75 or 69, kind of how that.
Oh, is it like a district thing?
It's a district. The field rep, yeah, I mean, it is. Okay. But District 2, uh-huh. is like from 6975 to Arkansas, from Texas to Kansas.
Oh, wow.
So it's a big, big area. So it's a lot to split up. Right. I had 11 districts up until a week ago. Mm-hmm. And so mine went from Cherokee, Ader, Sequoia, McIntosh, Haskell, LaFleur, Latimer, McCurtain, Choctaw, Pushmataha. They call that Push County down there, You can't call it Pushmataha. That's Push County. If you Push guys, County. Yeah, that's, you know. And so, I have recently absorbed Muskogee and Pittsburgh, which is McAllister.
Mm-hmm. So when you absorb a new county, what do you do for that county? Like day to day, what is
your first you pray. That's the first thing you do. The first thing you do is you say, "Dear Lord, help me." And the first thing that you do. So field rep, what they and this is the old. I forgot to mention that Josh Brakeen spent 10 years working for Dr. Tom Coburn,
who was
a state rep and a senator here in Oklahoma, and he was a field rep for him for 10 years. So we kind of go by the same old mold. So this what I do was taught to me by Josh Brakeen, and this is the style that he wants to do things. Admittedly,
are there other styles? What are the other styles?
Hey, there's the admittedly at first I was like, you know, I think there's a better way, you know, but I have become a believer. Trust me that this is the way to do it. Typically we go from business to business. We try to find out what are your top three issues? You know, what are your top issues? What are your concerns? How can we generate sales and revenue? How can the federal government be better? How can we get out of your pocket? And we just document those things. It's actually kind of boring, really.
Not really. It is kind of boring, but it's an effective way of like getting some information with some real people.
That's it. That's what you do.
What have you found?
Yeah. What are your top three complaints?
Border budget and getting rid of Biden. That's what Eastern Oklahoma wants all the time. Give me border. Give me the economy back. Well, give me Trump back. That's what Eastern Oklahoma wants. You know, typically a lot of other styles of field reps, what they would do is they would go to like the judges' chambers and the chamber banquets. And, you know, sometimes we'll do things, you know, some things like that.
Yeah.
Or spend time. But we don't spend time on the golf course. We don't do a lot of the schmoozing.
You talk to real people.
We talk to real people.
With real problems.
Josh Brakeen did 60 in-person town halls last year.
Wow.
60 in-person town halls. Nobody does that anymore. That's a thing of the past. Just 2 weeks ago, he came to Oklahoma. He came back to the district and he did 15 in 3 days. That's five town halls a day. I was like, Josh, what are you doing? Are you trying to break last year's record or something? I mean, you got something to prove here? You know, that's his work ethic. You know, that good old boy from Colgate, Oklahoma, that was, you know, cutting horse trainer with him and his dad. They are sun up to sun down. I don't know where he gets it. I don't know where he finds it. All I can say is that he's in a place of grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Can I ask you a question about, I'm on the website here and I'm looking at some of his cuts that he's suggesting.
Yeah.
What is his stance on eliminating the Department of Energy's diversity office, and what does that mean?
So here's the thing. I mean, how many three-letter branches of government do you trust?
Not a whole lot, but I do know a lot about energy.
And
just coming
how
from
many
my
of them do you think are probably spend their money accurately?
None.
So, you know, we need to take a look at every single one of them.
Yeah.
You know, it would be fine if this was 1980, where we had our debt in 1980 was $1 trillion. It's $34 trillion today. It's not the same. You know, we have serious decisions that we have to make. They're tough decisions. We're going to have to eat our fruit and vegetables because we've got cancerous teeth with cavities that are falling out of our head as a nation.
Right.
And we've got to make some tough decisions. So itemize one by one. We need to take Department of Education. That's one. We need to take a look at it. Every single three-letter branch of government, we need to make sure that they are held accountable mm-hmm. for what they're doing, and we need to make sure what they're spending, that their budget is in line with helping the American people. I'll give you an example. Okay. You know, the town just down the road from us gets a $4.6 million grant. Mm-hmm. And this grant, what it does is it tells folks that it funds people to tell them that fentanyl's bad, mm-hmm. that mental health is an issue, mm-hmm. that nutrition is good, and y'all ought to work out a little bit.
We know all these things.
I wouldn't even
How much do are we getting? Are they getting for that?
That's $4.6 million,
I'd
right?
Like and some
so,
of that.
Yeah, you'd like some of that, right? And so, you know, when we look, we'd almost be okay with it if you looked over the past 5 years if those numbers were decreasing, but they're not. They're increasing all the time.
Well, like the problem that I have with all this woke mental health, which I believe in mental health.
Yeah,
me too. I've suffered from depression and anxiety. It is a real thing.
And listen, just to clear the air, that is something that we have to work on as a nation.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got to come together on that. It is a huge issue. Mm-hmm. We need to quit playing politics about it and passing the buck. And we actually got to dive in and see how we can be of service.
Of service, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think medicine is the end all answer to that. I think it has a
place. That goes, yeah, it definitely has a place.
Yeah.
We all don't need to be medicated though.
Yeah. Yeah, society's walking around like way too medicated right now in the United States.
I feel like sometimes you just need to ask people when you hire them, like, what kind of medications are you on? Just so I can like,
well,
they should force you to put that in your dating profile.
So not only that in some situations that you can't do that, but in other situations they have safe working spaces for people that are using medical marijuana. So they actually come up with positions. You know, if you worked for a company that maybe you were hired in a warehouse and part of your job would be to operate a forklift. Mm-hmm. Well, because you have a medical marijuana card, they put a safe position for you and you don't get
to operate the forklift.
You don't have to do the forklift.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And that's honored. And that's crazy.
That's honored.
Yeah.
It's a little
weird. I know that and he's heard me say all this stuff a million times, but my daughter works at Seven Brew. And
love that place, by the way.
I do too, and I do hair, so I do like everybody's hair from there now because she.
Which
works
for everybody
there.
Listening, that is a small coffee shop stand.
Yeah.
Competes with Starbucks.
Yes, Seven Brew. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she has I do her manager's hair, and they're very woke about mental health there, and they have a very young population, you know, of people, so like 19 to like 24, 25, you know, is kind of like their zone of, you know.
Gen Z. Is that Gen Z?
Gen Z.
You?
No offense.
How old are you?
16.
He's Gen Z,
Oh, yeah,
too.
By the way, Josh's son here is here.
This 16. Is my middle son out of, Ryder.
Hello.
Ryder Hildebrand. Good looking young fella.
It's actually Ryder Owens, but that's okay.
Bad,
you know.
Whatever.
But anyway, so.
It's 2024. We have a blended
He can identify. He can be whoever he wants to be.
Gender is fluid.
Yeah. I didn't question his gender.
I'm a male.
He does. His hair is getting long, so.
It looks good. Yeah, no. But anyways, they have a policy there that if you call in and you are having an issue, a mental health issue, they cannot say you have to come into work and they cannot get written up for it, you know, and that's great for people who are having that. Yeah, people who are having that, I understand, but also
because
like,
I got high.
You could really take advantage of that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So what's the solution, right? So you've got these grants that are out there. You've got the NGOs, that's non-government organizations. Everybody knows what an NGO is now because it's all over the news. Nobody knew what an NGO was, you know, 3 months ago, 6 months ago. But so all these NGOs, what they do is they apply for these grants. Mm-hmm. And of course you have your red tape, you got to hire a grant company. Everybody gets a cut from, you know, the lowest level all the way to the top, mm-hmm. gets a cut from this grant.
Don't you get a cut from the grant forever as long as the grant runs?
I don't know.
I'm
probably
pretty sure
does.
That's how it works.
Probably does. And so it becomes almost like this insurance racket type of a thing. So what we do, here's how we fix this. What Josh Burkeen wants to do is he wants to block grant. Here's a term we need to like start figuring out what it means. Block granting. Block granting means we block grant back to the states, okay? Instead of giving the NGOs money.
Because they're federal grants?
Yeah.
We're talking about?
Basically, the federal government just.
Grants out to the states.
Just takes in one chunk, one block, and it hands it straight back to the state legislator.
Right.
So what you're going to see is that people are better stewards of that money, because you can go directly to your representative, to your local senator, to your local level, and you can ensure that they're using that money in an appropriate manner. So we need to block it back to the states to let them spend the money in the way that they want to, instead of having the NGOs use whatever manipulative tactics that they can by getting a coercing a senator or a representative to sign their grant so they can, you know, benefit
do whatever
themselves.
They want to do with it.
And we know that's not what they do with the money too. You know, there's so much corruption there to where they spread it around, and you know, they pay all their other cronies, and it's usually for political benefits and gain so they can get reelected again. We don't play games like that. We don't play games. This is not Josh Brkeen is not one of those. He's a statesman. He's not a politician.
So our high school just got a grant for a new turf football field. What kind of grant would that be?
So those are some good things, right? I mean, we start looking at all of these things, and we wonder, like, well, we can't not have that, right? We can't not have that. Well, here's the thing. You're right. There are some good things. It's called the 18 enumerated powers. In the 18 enumerated powers, you can look this up, fact check me, there's 18 things that actually Congress can do. Everything else is things that Congress can't do, okay? So the Constitution was designed to limit the government, not to empower the government. It was designed to empower the people and to limit itself. So when we look at those 18 enumerated powers, there's things that we can fund. But there's a whole lot of things out there that we can't. If we block grant that money back to the states, then the local school board goes to its state officials. It goes to the state superintendents. It goes to the state representatives, the state senators, to get those funds and those monies that it needs.
You know, I'd rather see my tax money going to local football fields than anywhere else, you know, supporting the community.
Absolutely. I'd rather see mine go to my pocket. And then, you know.
I might start paying taxes again.
Distribute it from there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that brings up a really good point. You look at 100 years ago, 80% of the taxes collected in the United States went to the local government. Only 20% went to the federal government. Today, it's opposite.
That's crazy.
It's just the other way around. You look at the rural water districts in eastern Oklahoma. You know how they were built? You know which?
Through taxes?
No, they weren't. They weren't built with taxes. It was your grandpa and your grandpa and your grandpa that donated. I mean, if you go around and ask, they'll tell you, well, my grandpa donated 200 lines of this water and helped dig it with his backhoe. And, you know, that's how we did it.
Yeah, you worked together as a community to make things happen.
And there were some, like,
of course,
there were some dollars.
Sure.
But people pitched in. And now our water system is antiquated and outdated, and now everybody's screaming, oh, federal government, fix it for me. Wait, they didn't do it to begin with. You know, so why is it their issue? Well, we've got to have water. So obviously we're going to do some things to fix it. We've got to step in, but it starts one step at a time. We've got an elephant sized problem. The only way to address it is one bite at a time, right?
Nice. Now, how do you think this upcoming youth, people like your son's age, are going to affect politics in the future? It's cool to have him here to see what actually goes on in high school, talk about this stuff. Because, you know, like,
vapes.
A lot of the, you know, this
vapes.
Totally vapes.
Yeah, like this crazy transgender bull crap. You know?
I live in Lake Tinkiller, but, you know, I hang out on waves, man.
No, but, you know, I hear a lot about this whole crazy trans stuff, which I know is real, but like, I never see any of it in actual person. Is it just?
It's because we live in Oklahoma.
It doesn't really go on at our high school. It's just like,
you know, like, is it just a small?
It doesn't go on at your
portion,
high school very much.
Just massively just blown out of dog collars.
You know, when you look at the young people, and you look at the generations that are coming, one thing that I can guarantee you is they will be running this. Okay, that is a guarantee.
Well, they don't have a choice.
They don't have a choice.
We're all going to die.
So, you know, you ask, like, well, what's going to happen? Are they going to run this? Yeah, they're going to run it, you know, one way or another. You know, they're here to stay, you know. And we can be good stewards, and we can give them something they can work with, or we can give them something that, I mean, why would they even want to the way it is now?
Yeah.
Why would they want to tackle these problems that we have? Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a society right now that is don't work, collect a check, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's either we're going to fix it or it's just going to get worse.
Yeah.
See, I think that's the scariest thing because these kids are getting raised to be like that. And there's like they're raised to be government slaves. Nobody can think for themselves anymore, even want to take the risk to get out and do something on their own. Which is why I like to focus on entrepreneurship, because creating that kind of mindset in the youth or in people around us will create something that we can solve our own problems with and not just rely on a check.
Mm-hmm. If we want to encourage parts of society for the better, for our future, I would say, well, first of all, your community church, your local church, this got to be the year of the church. We got to bring back the local church to where you're doing the potlucks on the Sundays that, you
I
know,
I miss that but, so right? much. We used I to really be there. I really do. Like, I mean, it was kind of annoying when I was a kid, but like, I'm
hey, yeah, but looking back though, that's where you,
it was so fun. I wow. mean, like, and so many Sunday. Good recipes, you know, like no one even knows how to cook anymore, you know, like,
well, right. So we have to do that. We have to focus in on the
it's
local community.
Community.
I promise you the people that don't like us, the other side, mm-hmm. they're doing a really good job of infiltrating the local community. So mm-hmm. we've got to jump back in. We've got to take that back. The other thing that we got to do is programs like Votech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, your blue collar workers.
100%.
Listen,
electricians, HVAC,
they get out
welders.
Of school right now out of a 2-year program making $75,000 a year.
Yeah. And believe mm-hmm. me, you need that to survive now. Which
you
is
need
wild.
That to surprise. So the same goods and services that you're buying today mm-hmm. is $1,500 a month more than it was 2 years
yeah.
ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you back in 2000.
God, that's just 2 years ago. Too.
I moved
2 years
here
ago
in that's 2018, wild. And like I said before, I'm a hairdresser. So and I'm a business owner. So I obviously buy all my own things. So just on a small scale, like a box of gloves, you know, that you can use doing hair was like $8.99. It's now like $25.
Right.
You know, a box of foil that I use probably in a day was $10.99.
I
it's
talk
almost
to people
$30.
Every single day that go to Dollar General and buy a gallon of milk, a loaf of bread, a thing of peanut butter and bologna, and it's $25 to $30.
It's insane.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Josh, my fellow other diesel daddy who couldn't make it today and did not answer his phone.
Yeah. He answered my call.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that. But so we buy like groceries just for the office, and we'll just get like salad stuff. And just for the two of us, like one thing of spinach, a couple things of fruit and bananas, and some dressing always comes out to be $75 plus just for like four
salad.
Meals of salad Dang. For the
wow.
two of us.
Wow.
Every single
and
time.
And here's the other thing. In this country, it's GMOs. It's junk, preservatives, everything.
Well,
other countries.
We did buy organic, so maybe
that's cool.
A little
yeah.
bit, but.
But other countries, that is illegal.
And
it's
they don't
banned
have, and they don't
in
have
other countries.
As many autoimmune disorders either. I read
right.
a statistic the other day. I'll have to fact check myself. But it was something like 85% of Americans now have an autoimmune, some kind of autoimmune disease.
We're going to walk around like the gourd people or something
yeah.
before too long. You know, we're going to have like tumors on our foreheads and stuff like that. You know,
oh,
we,
great.
We,
hills have eyes.
We, yeah, we have to do something about nutrition in this country. And it doesn't start with, you know, federally funding a program mm-hmm. to tell a kid that eating a banana is better than eating a Snicker bar. That's not what it is.
I think food control needs to go back to the community. You know, I do. I try to get all my food locally from like meat markets and butchers, farmers market and everything. If I can get away from any national brand, this is kind of my goal.
Yeah, we have a great farmers market here, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's
really
it's great.
Awesome. But I buy all my meat from that 1839 Cherokee, whatever
Cherokee
it is.
Meat Company,
Cherokee
1839,
meat
yes.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they have some good
so
bison
good.
Over there, too. You
they
guys
do.
Like it?
Yeah,
okay.
we got
bison.
We,
is it
we
buffalo or bison? Can I say
I think you can
both?
Say both.
I can
yeah.
say both?
I guess.
I'm saying both. It's buffalo bison.
We
yep.
had some,
and
what
I
did we have?
Him.
Alligator.
Oh, alligator sausage.
It was so good.
Gator sausage.
Yep.
Yep, made my chest hair grow when I ate it.
Kind of sounds cool to say gator sausage.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Yeah, I guess it does.
That'll be the title of this episode is Gator Sausage.
Gator Sausage.
Well, shoot, man. So tell me about your life before this. I'm sure you have a old testimony to get to where the God-fearing man you are now.
Well, you know, I mean, I was raised in church, but, you know, I like everybody else in the world, you know, I strayed and fell short.
You know, call that backsliding.
I got that backsliding, you know. And I was still drugged down to the front row either way, you know. But, no, I'm kidding. But, sure, you know, I went through life. And I guess to just kind of sum it up, because I kind of like to talk about where we're going and not where I've been. Mm-hmm. You know, I've messed up. If you've been 15, 18 years old, 22 years old, and you've messed up, hey, welcome. You're in good company, because all of us
have.
That's
how you learn lessons, you know.
I was in my front yard, and I was praying, and it wasn't one of those like, oh my gosh, you know, the apocalypse has just happened, or I got in trouble, and God, you know, I need you to come save me today. It was just simple praying in my front yard. And I heard the Lord speak to me and say, you know what? You can keep living the way you're living, and that's going to be okay, because it's what comes out of your heart is what defiles a man, not what you put in your body. Mm-hmm. And I kind of went, well, that's kind of weird, you know? And he said, so I'll even bless you. But he said, if you totally submit to me, I will take you places that you ain't ever been before.
Amen.
I will totally change your life if you will just do the NST plunge into my arms and live in the moment with me. All eyes on me. That's a 50 Cent song, by the way.
That's right.
All eyes on me. So if Jesus was here right now, he'd be playing scripture. A 50 Cent song, right? So
wait, no, actually, guys, that's Tupac. We're going to take that back.
Yeah. Oh, is it really? Yeah. Oh, man.
All eyes on me.
All eyes on me.
That's going to be the intro song to this one.
That's my showing my age, you know, there.
That's
sure.
That 50 Cent fella.
That's 50 Cent guy. But no, that's what it was, you know, and the 30 steps that it took for me to go to my front yard to the front door of my house, I had made a decision. The Bible says a man purposes in his heart. Mm-hmm. I purposed in my heart at that point. And I can tell you that I haven't wanted to do anything that I was doing before that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to live like I was living. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to watch the movies I was watching. I didn't want to listen to the music. I didn't want to go to the concerts that I was going. Now, listen, if that's what you do,
right,
that's fine. I'm not here to guilt trip you or condemnation or tell you you're bad.
Right.
I'm telling you that's where God wanted me to be.
Mm-hmm.
He needed me to submit to him and to put myself and separate myself to a different level. And since then.
So he could bless you and bring you up to a different level.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And hopefully for his grand purpose, his grand design. I believe that it's for his design, his perfect will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're just getting there together. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy teaching people, you know, those words and expressing those words to people. When I go day to day in my routine, I mean, we are prayerful with people. We talk to people that are out there. People, you know, ask me to pray just out of the blue. Hey, will you pray with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've just seen some really amazing things happen.
So, you know, it's interesting, you know, like kind of when you surrender your life. And I mean, any higher power, really, you get the purpose is so much more deeper, you know, and I feel like God will always elevate you to a platform to where you're able to reach more people. You know, and I think that if you wouldn't have made those decisions early on, how long ago was that when you did that?
A couple of years ago.
Oh, so pretty recent.
I mean, like, you know, I'm not saying that I was living like this was horrible, this, crazy life or anything. You know what I mean?
Was this when you got sick of chopping wood? Was it right after?
Yeah, right after chopping wood.
Like, I ain't doing this no more.
He, you know, listen, he lived up at Burnt Cabin. He's like, Lord, save me.
Save me, God, as I'm at Burnt Cabin.
There's going on out here, Lord.
The cabin is burning.
Yeah, I'm about to burn this cabin if you don't give me a generator right now.
You know, it's a process, right? You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, not everybody is to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, it's just going through, it's being in his word, it's doing the things that you're supposed to do. And then at some point, you know, I tell people all the time, you can't spend 2 minutes at the feet of Jesus and walk away the same. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but spending time in the word and just, you know, the word says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, and believing that who he is, he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're just, I mean, if we just keep seeking, I just believe that at some point he goes, okay,
you're ready.
enough is enough.
Yeah.
Are you going to do this or are you not going to do this? Mm-hmm. You know, I got born again saved when I was 5 years old, you know, in a little church in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And so my whole life, you know, I've understood, I knew who Jesus was. I know what the Holy Spirit does with inside of you. I know what the Bible is, but I haven't always lived that way. Mm-hmm. But
those seeds were still planted in you though, so they're always there.
Amen. She's preaching. She's preaching.
This girl will change your life over here, man.
I feel like a lot of kids now are like getting saved or saying they got saved, but they don't really know what the meaning behind it is. Mm-hmm. What, I mean,
I think like even once you mentally say that I'm being saved or committing my life to God or whatever, it's just the first step in a journey, you know, thinking that anything that you make this commitment and all of a sudden these temptations just go away.
Yeah. They're still all there. And there's probably even more. You're still going
to have to fight. And I would say you have to fight even harder. Yeah, now you're fighting for a purpose. And now there's something else, you know, the more you polarize yourself in the direction of God, the stronger that other polarization is going to be pulling you away.
The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee. That word flee in the Greek actually means to run in terror.
All right.
So if you submit to God and resist the devil, he will run in terror because he's the defeated foe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not what we do. It's not out of works. It's not trying to be better. It's that submission and that fellowship with him to where he makes you better, not you make you better. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times, you know, with you have younger people, they think, oh, man, you know, hey, you're going to. Son, you're going to church this Sunday. Oh, I better go get my hair cut. I got to get my clothes out. You know, you're trying to do things. Yeah. To make to get your life right. So you can go to church, but that's not what Jesus said. Right.
Right.
He said, come to me,
come as you are.
Submit to me, fellowship with me, and I'll change you forever. You know, Jesus, you know, the Lord said the same thing to me in my front yard. He's like, are you ready to submit to me? Mm-hmm. Are you ready? And then that 30 steps, when I purposed in my heart that I was going to submit to him, that's when he changed me forever.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. What about you? When did you get saved, man?
Not that long ago, like maybe a year or two.
Pull up to the mic, Ryder.
Getting scared, man.
What does it mean to you to be saved? Like you're just honest. You know,
walk with Christ. Like,
yeah.
Try to be as much like him as you can be.
Right.
Try to get away from that music.
Right.
Try to stop watching those movies.
Yeah.
Just try to be the best person you can be.
Right.
Pretty much what it means.
Yeah, what in your definition of that at your age is a good man?
Oh, good question, babe. What are qualities of a good man?
Yeah. What do you view as qualities in a good man?
Provides for his family, takes care of people around him.
Mm-hmm.
Selfless.
Pretty much.
Honey, he's got to answer. He's got to answer. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to define his answer.
Oh, okay.
You're like, okay, look at me and tell me.
I'm going to tell you what to say.
What is a good man? Look right here.
I was saying, like he said, providing for his family. That's an act of selflessness to not be self-centered. Mm-hmm. You know,
you open that door, man.
Put somebody before yourself.
I was agreeing with what he was saying. That's
it.
That's one thing. That's it. A good man is just that. Are you a good man?
I guess.
Hey, all right. That's pretty cocky.
No? All right.
We'll introduce you to our daughters.
Well, before you do.
Oh, man. Man, that's good stuff, man. Man, we're about an hour into this, brother. You got anything you want to tell the people? What's going on? What's the next few weeks look like for you, and you're on a platform. We're going to reach 25,000 people with this. So.
Yeah, we're, you know, over the next, so coming up here in April, I believe April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, he'll do some town halls again. Josh Brekeen, Congressman Brekeen, will do town halls again. I'm sure he'll hit another 15. Between now and then, we'll be going from county to county, from city to city, all of the field reps in Eastern Oklahoma, reaching out to people. Our phone number, our office is right there. Can you read our phone number? I don't have it memorized.
Yeah, I'll post it in the description too. Your cell phone number? No.
I don't think you can put my cell phone number.
That's okay. Okay.
Guys, if you have any complaints and you're in Oklahoma about anything with Social Security.
Yeah. Sorry, we're cutting out.
Anything. The man to talk to, I will post his phone number in this episode. The office number is 918-283-6262.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. We'd love to talk with anybody that has any kind of concerns. Mm-hmm. If you're a veteran and you need help with paperwork, if you're having trouble getting your veteran services, reach out to us. If you're having a problem with Social Security, reach out to us. If you see any kind of federal overreach and you have a complaint, reach out to us. That's what we do. We have a full office that's dedicated to the constituents of Oklahoma. I don't just work for Josh Brekeen. Our staff works for the constituents of Eastern Oklahoma, and we report to Josh Brekeen. So with that in mind, we'd love to hear from you. We truly believe that moving forward, if we will put God in his rightful place and put government back in its rightful place. You know, the Bible says that if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, if we kneel, if we pray, if we repent, he'll restore our nation. That's part one. Part two is remembering and knowing, and get this in your hearts and minds, that our freedoms and liberty were endowed upon us by our Creator. They were not given to us by a government. They were given to us by God. And those freedoms were given to us long before this government was here, and they'll be there long after a government is gone. And so know your rightful place, know your authority, know who you are, know what your biblical citizenship is. Man the line, hold the line. Eastern Oklahoma is 9 out of 435 congressional districts in the United States that's conservative. There's only 9 really left, guys. I hate to say that, but there really is. It is key and critical. But if anything that I know about my God is that he shows up in when the numbers are low, not when the numbers are great.
Mm-hmm.
That he shows up when his glory will reign. And
awesome.
And I know that about my Creator, that he's the Father of glory and he's going to get all the glory. And so, but just know what your authority is. Know what rights that you have and man that line. Hold them back, because it's going to take all of us, and it's going to take all of us, but I believe he's not done.
Awesome, guys. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming in and
thank you so much
share.
For having me,
dude,
man.
I loved it. You were absolutely fantastic. You look great, and I appreciate your patience dealing with the timing today.
I look great.
This is the Diesel Daddy Podcast. Tell your mama I love her.
Oh, yeah.